This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We started, I called this the short list. Here's a text for us, 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, verses 16 through 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So I want to talk tonight about rejoicing always. And I want to tell you that we're going to talk about rejoicing. Sometimes we read lists like that and we think, but it's just, well, it's a nice list. That's a good idea. It's kind of like, hey, we'll get together. You know, it's kind of one of those phrases that maybe Paul might say, but doesn't have any meaning behind it. I believe it's got a lot of meaning behind it. And we're going to find out that rejoicing is important. And I'm going to show you tonight where rejoicing is one of the greatest ways to stay connected to God. Paul said, rejoice always. And so he had a reason for saying that. Now, to rejoice is rejoicing simply means to be glad, to express joy. And here's the key word. It is expression. So we're expressing something, rejoicing. People say, well, I'm just rejoicing in my heart. Well, that's good, but your face will need to be notified. And have you ever heard people say that? Huh? It's like, oh, yeah, I have joy in my heart. No, you don't. No, because if you did, it would show up on your face at some point in time. And so rejoicing is an expression. You do understand that when the scriptures were written, they were written to very expressive people. The Jewish people were very expressive. I mean, they were not stoic. I don't know where the idea of stoicism and godliness comes together. I think temperance and self-control and godliness, but the Jewish people, man, when they were excited, They threw dust in the air and they had parties that you could hear all out in the street. They danced when they were angry. They ripped their clothes. That's an expressive person. Stoic people don't rip their clothes. Expressive people rip their clothes. This is why I'm just not expressive. I want you to stay with me because you may not be a demonstrative type person, but it is good. It's good to make expressions of rejoicing to the Lord. So let's talk a little bit about it. Rejoicing is to be glad to express. Now let's talk about what does rejoicing look like when something good has happened to us. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, verse 26. One member, he's talking about the body of Christ. One member suffers, all the members suffered with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So when you get honored, it's good to rejoice. Something good's happened, we rejoice. Now, right, keeping along in that line, when something good has happened to others in God's family. Look at this verse in Romans. I'm going to go right there because I want you to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So someone's happy, we should be. Now, he's talking about in the body of Christ. We ought to rejoice with those who rejoice. Now, let's be real honest. It's easier to weep with those who weep. Because when someone's having a bad day, you're like, oh, yeah, I feel sorry for it. When someone says, I got a promotion, and I got like a big, huge raise, and you didn't get one. And you're like, I'm rejoicing with you. Rejoicing? It said rejoice with those. Now here's the key. Rejoicing with others is a characteristic that's not typically seen in the world. But it shows our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus said, this is how they'll know you're my disciples, because you have love for one another. And so here's a great thing. When someone comes and they share something with you and they say, wow, this happened to me. One of the best things you can do is, whether or not you feel it or not, is go, man, I am rejoicing with you. Because I am glad you got blessed. And I believe that God is big enough, not just to bless you, He can do that for me as well. See, when you believe that God can, there's enough blessings to go around, that God's just not doling them out in small amounts, that there's could be some blessings for you, then it's easier to rejoice with people. Because you're like, hey, wonderful. I can rejoice with that. So rejoicing when something good has happened. Sarah was in the Bible. Sarah was Abraham's wife. She has an expression here. She says this, Genesis 21st chapter 5 through 7. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. You remember the story of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was like 99 years old. Sarah was in her 90s. Sarah had never been able to have kids. God said, here's a promise. you're going to have a child, Sarah, and you are going to have a child. And Abraham and Sarah believed God, and Sarah had a child. She's in her 90s. They say, there's no way that can happen. Well, there's no way physically with man it can happen, but with the one who created the universe, that can happen. And so it happened. And so, but Sarah said, God's made me laugh. I think I love that. It's like, look at this. It's like, is that your great-grandchild? No, no, this is my baby. And everyone goes, ha! Of course, I really think it was a huge benefit for Sarah to have all these servants who could watch the child, because, man, I think children work a whole lot better when you're young. Joy calls them the littles. I've got two granddaughters that come over to the house, the littles. And man, I'm thinking to myself, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That these children belong to my children. And they going home. Because something about when they're 2 and 3, I love them and they're fun, but they can suck the life right out of you. You're like, what happened? So Sarah said she had all these nurses and everything, but she had a child and she's laughing. Hey, you know, listen, when God does something good for you and other people go, whoo, that's amazing. Do you realize that's the value of a testimony? And so when God's done something good for you, it's okay to say, the Lord's helped us. The Lord's blessed us. The Lord did that. Someone say, oh, someone says, oh, you were just lucky. I'm like, no, time. Don't believe in luck. The Lord helped me. You don't know how much He's helped us. You don't know how much He's been good to us. You don't know how gracious He's become. And you know, part of that is actually rejoicing. So when something's good's happened. Now, what does rejoicing in God look like? So here's this. And listen, what I'm sharing with you tonight is probably not something that everyone's well-versed in. Now, this is Wednesday night. And I listen to you guys. Y'all are a good worshiping group. Isn't that right, Justin?
Yes, they are.
This group will worship. And you're pretty good at that. And so I just bear with me for a little bit. It's not just the rejoicing here. What I'm talking about, and I think it's wonderful, but what I'm talking about is rejoicing when you leave here. And developing that in your lifestyle. And confessions from a pastor. In fact, this is an area that the Lord constantly brings me back to, because my natural tendency is not to rejoice. Y'all looking at me like I just blasphemed. My natural tendency. My natural tendency is to move on to the next problem and get it fixed. My natural tendency is to look for all the contingencies that are wrong. That's my natural tendency. So it's no wonder that the Lord brings me back to rejoicing. A lot, because it's good for me. And for all you perfectionists out there, real good for you. And for all you control freaks, you'll love this. This is great. This is great for you. And so in this rejoicing, Psalms 98, verse 4, did I say that? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. Notice now, over the summer, This is my personal Bible, and I always encourage people, if you can. I know, don't look at me like I don't know anything about technology, but if you can, get a Bible that you can mark in and read in, and one that you, after a while, you get used to where stuff is in it. And you might not be able to find the verse, but you know where it kind of is on the page. Does that make sense? And so I know people, all the 20-somethings look at me like, no, dude, like I read only on my tablet. Well, that's okay. I'd much rather you read. I'm just saying if you'll go old school, it will bless you. And write in it, mark in it, make notes. I've got notes and little messages to myself and times that the Lord has highlighted the verse to me. So your Bible. I went all the way through the Psalms, read the whole Psalms, 150, and I wrote little codes beside them. About every time it said rejoicing or praise or trust or faith or some of the promises of God or prayer, this is just for me. This is just, it's binge. I did binge reading. Ever binge watched? In television? Who's ever binge watched? Come on now. Anybody remember 24, the series? I could binge watch that one really, really bad. But it didn't help me. This will help you. You do a little binge reading. So I did some some binge reading, and I was reading, and it's amazing how many times in the Psalms, the psalmist, David, who was a warrior, talked about rejoicing. And so the guy who won more battles also rejoiced a lot. Somehow there's got to be a correlation there. The guy who, I'm going to say that again, the guy who won a lot of battles rejoiced a lot. And so he said, shout joyfully to the Lord. And that's an outward thing. What's in the heart will show up on the outside. And when Paul said rejoice always, always is an always thing. I looked up that word. It means always. It's got that continual thing about it. So it's continual. And so David really encouraged us to rejoice on a continual basis. I'm going to read one of my favorite psalms to you, Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Do you ever notice what a difference it makes that you can sometimes come dragging in here on a Wednesday night, we've all done it, and come and just after about that third worship song, it kicks in and you're like, oh, I feel better. Oh, this is good. Why? But it's his praise in your mouth will make a difference. So let me give you some on that. One, don't get caught up in the technicality of whether it's rejoicing or praise. Two, blessing the Lord means saying good things to and about him. I will bless the Lord. I'm going to say good things about the Lord. You say, well, Alan, I don't know what to say. Well, this is one reason I am so glad we have the book of Psalms. Because what you can do is you can take these psalms and you can just read these psalms out loud to the Lord. And it'll work. Psalms 144. I'm just going to read this to you. It's not on the screen. David said, Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues the peoples under me. Now, what's David doing? David is, he's blessing the Lord. He's saying good things about the Lord. Now, if you think about it, David was a warrior. David fought a lot. He fought battles. If you ever notice how his words in here, he's beginning to define what God is to him. What he needs in his life is he needs protection. What he needs in his life is he needs God to be a fortress and a refuge and a safe place. Now listen, you say, well, I'm not in that. I'm not a place. I don't need protection. I don't need, I'm not fighting physical battles. No, but we fight spiritual battles. We deal with emotional battles. So maybe if you're not saying, Lord, you're my fortress, you can say this, Lord, you're the one who helps me. Lord, I want to bless you. You are the healer of my emotions, and my emotions are strong because you're the strength of my life. Lord, I want to thank you that you're the one who mends and helps my family. Lord, I thank you that you're the one who brings us peace. You are the Prince of Peace. You're the God of peace. You see what I'm saying is? What do you need God to be in your life? Do you need direction and guidance? He's the one that can guide you. Do you need his help and provision? He's the one that can provide for you. What do you need? So when you're blessing the Lord, we're just not going, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. And you get tired of that after a while. But if you begin to talk about, I will bless the Lord all the time. Lord, I want to thank you that you are the healer. We've watched him heal our family. Oh, my goodness. Lord, I want to thank you that you are my peace. I want to thank you that you are the strength. You're the strength of my life. You're the strength of my emotions. Lord, you are the joy of my life. I've got joy in my heart because of you. Lord, I thank you for this. Does this make sense? What you're doing then is you're beginning to call God and begin to say, God, this is who you are to me. I'm thanking you. The word bless means to speak well of. And if you combine it with the Hebrew word, it means to bow the knee. That means in a worshipful stance, I'm speaking well of God. How many of you know that when we get to heaven, there will be times when everybody's around and we're around the throne and we're just worshiping God and giving him praise and giving him thanks and honoring, glorifying him. And there's angels and there's winged creatures. It's going to be, if you don't like loud, you are not going to like heaven. It is going to be, there's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm thinking might as well go ahead and get a head start on it right now. and just learn to jump. You say, well, Alan, I'm a reserved person. I'm just a reserved person. I don't do some of that. Okay, but let's grow. I'm not saying bust out in your cubicle. I'm not saying it worked. We look over and all of a sudden you're like, Lord, you're good and you're gracious. And that's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about that you have some private times. And you begin to verbally express, Lord, I want to thank you. You are my salvation. You are the one that saved me. You saved my family. Lord, thank you. You've helped my marriage. You're my helper. Lord, you're good. And as you begin to bless the Lord at all times, his praise continually in our mouth. David said, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. I love that. He said, and the humble will hear of it and be glad. I've noticed, and I've done this over the years, I've noticed it's funny, but sometimes people will come up and they'll start saying things like, oh man, you, it's awesome, this church you built, awesome. And I laugh. I say, you know, the Lord's been good to us. And I'm amazed at all the people who won't just accept that. When I tell you the Lord's been good to us, son, that's exactly what I mean. The Lord's been good to us. See, because I remember the Alan that failed at starting a church. And I remember the Alan that almost torpedoed a marriage. And I remember the Alan that's made some stupid mistakes, but the Lord's been merciful and he's been gracious. And I remember the Alan that did drugs when he was younger and how the Lord protected me and how the fact that I'm alive when I've been in cars that I should have died. And I'm grateful and how the Lord has healed my children and how the Lord has healed my grandchildren. When I say the Lord's been good, I ain't lying. He's been good. You know the best thing when someone says the Lord's been good, you just go, yes, he is. He's good. Yes, he is. He's good. He's good. Don't do this. Well, you worked hard. The humble. Humble. We can argue that one later. The humble. If you've got any humility about you, you'll hear it and be glad, all right? We're boasting. And it's also a great way to magnify God. We say, magnify God. Yeah. Make him bigger in your life. It's just a good thing, man. You ever had a day at work where you get in the car and you feel like your brain is dead? You drive home, you're like, I don't want to think about anything. I just feel like, I've had those days. At the church? Yes. Yes. Listen, if you guys think that being a pastor means that I just kind of come floating in. And the staff goes, hey, Pastor, how are you? And my kids and everybody's like, ooh, the pastor's here. And I sit back in my office and just go, That is so not my day. And we deal with stuff and all kinds of things. And we work with people. I know none of you work with people, but I work with people. I mean, we work with people. And people have stuff. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 12 or 14. It says, where there are no oxen, the stall is clean. But much increase comes from the strength of an ox. So in other words, you have an ox, you get stuff done, and you've got ox poo to deal with. Yeah, that'll be a blessing on tape. All right. Here we go. Rejoicing has benefits. Here's one of the first ones. It helps keep God in our consciousness. So when we're rejoicing, we're conscious on the Lord. We've got to stop what we're doing and think about conscious of the Lord. Number two, rejoicing is considered a good thing. There's no way to go wrong in rejoicing in God. You will not get in trouble rejoicing in God. If you're rejoicing, you are on the right track. Here's number three, rejoicing, I like this one, helps us keep the negative thoughts from lodging in our heart. Sometimes you have those days where the thoughts almost surround you, almost like bees. Look what it says here in Psalms, the 8th chapter. This is interesting psalm. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Now, it's interesting because that's in Psalms 8:2. Jesus actually quoted that psalm in Matthew 21:6. And Jesus said, out of the mouth of nursing babes and infants, you have ordained praise. And so he likens praise with strength. He said that you may still the enemy and the avenger. When thoughts begin to bombard your mind, one of the biggest challenges that we have when you can tell sometimes when someone has taken a wrong thought, now they're running with it. We've all done that. I mean, maybe you were happy for a moment, and I even talked about it on Sunday. You were happy for a moment. All of a sudden, you hear something, and boy, you're taking that thought, and you're thinking, your whole countenance changes. One of the best ways to keep those thoughts from absolutely bombarding you is to rejoice and praise God. So when you're praising, what he said, it steals the enemy and the avenger. So he'll come, the enemy, say, who's the enemy? Well, I'm talking about Satan. So I don't believe in him. Jesus did. And Jesus said he was real. He's not a figment of our imagination. He is a dark force. And he aligns himself against us as believers. Here's the good news. Jesus whipped him severely and defeated him and made a show of him openly. And so he is defeated and he's not your Lord. But so when thoughts begin to come, one of the best defenses against the thoughts, and they're negative, and they can be toxic, and they can be harmful. And if you think about them, they just absolutely can take you down. But we have a solution. We have an option. And you can begin to say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I bless you. I praise you. Listen, if you're having a hard time praising God, just go in the Psalms and find a psalm and just read it out loud and praise God with it. Don't worry about being technically correct. Don't worry about the Lord looking at you going, no, you didn't say that right. The Lord grades on the curve. You're brand new to this. You get a pass. And you can come and go, hallelujah, Jesus, you're awesome. And he goes, that's great. Yes, I like that. And then as you grow, you can learn some more ways he's awesome. So don't get caught up about, did I say everything right? Did I bless God? No. I think we too much of us have FOMO. FOMO is fear of missing out. FOMO is fear of messing up. We ought not to have fear of messing up. The Bible said praise is good. You're offering praise to God. The Bible said it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Lord hears that and he goes, that's beautiful. When your kids come and go, hey, Daddy, hey, Mama. You don't go, I really don't like how you said that. If they're your children, that's beautiful. How about when your kids go, I love you? Is that good? I mean, it gets rarer sometimes when they get older, but then their mind gets right and they come back. And they go, I love you. And you're like, yeah, that's good. I got my little granddaughters when they've come to me and they give me a hug or something, kiss. I don't go, no, I don't appreciate that. No, I love them. And as a grandfather, I love when they come and show affection. How much more our Heavenly Father? If you just tell him, I love you, Lord. I appreciate you. You've been good to me. Have we got reason to thank him?
Yes, we do.
Have we got reason to be glad? So here's one of the things we can do. We can begin to express that. And expressing it to him can make all the difference in the world. When the enemy's coming and telling you all the things that he's going to do and this is not going to work and that's one of the best ways to steal him and to steal him, to stop him, it's just begin to say, thank you, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Almost, it's over the years, I'm just developing a habit. Sometimes Joy and I just walk around the house and it's bad, but when there's only two of you, it happens. I could just be going, thank you, Lord, thank you. And George's like, what? Like, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to him. And I do the same thing to her. She'll be walking around the house just praising or thanking the Lord. And I'm like, what'd you say? I believe God, I'm going to keep my hearing as I get older. I really do. But it's just something that you can learn to do. But it'll bless your life. I will bless the Lord at all times.
That's right.
His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Here's your assignment for the week. Just pick up your rejoicing just a notch. I'm not saying I spent 5 hours with you. Just pick it up a notch and just say, you know, this week I rejoice more than I have in a long, long time. And then I promise you, you'll be blessed, or I'll give you your money back. Bow your heads, please, and we'll... Heavenly Father, we're grateful for You. Thankful. For You are a God that's worthy to be praised and worthy to be magnified. Father, You have been gracious to us and good to us. Father, for all those here who are dealing with stuff, I thank You that You're bigger than that. For all of us, Father, who have problems, and that's probably all of us, Father, thank You that You know, You care, You help. And we give You all the praise for Your goodness to us. Lord, You're a healer and a helper. Lord, You're a strengthener and a standby. Lord, You're a good, good Father. And we love You. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't even have a relationship with the Lord. I know that. He knows that. Or I'm just so not sure. And I want to be. Or maybe you're here and you're like I was. Been in church. Had a relationship the Lord got away from Him. And you say, man, I'm so far away from God, but I really want to come back. Well, you are so in the right place tonight. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to say a prayer. We're not asking you to stand up or come to the front. But right there in your chair, you can have a moment with God that changes everything. We're going to pray with you. But if that's you that I'm talking to and you say, Alan, would you pray for me? I want to know the Lord, or I want to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? Would you just have the courage to slip your hand up across this auditorium? I'm not going to call you out. May I have the courage? Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, great. Take some courage to do that. Thank you. Thank you for the hands. Thank you. Anybody else? Great. Appreciate that. Yes, sir. Got it. In the back, in the front. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray together. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You really wanted to. You think, I missed it. You didn't miss it. You still have an opportunity. This is a heart prayer. Pray it out loud. Pray it with us. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to You. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.